Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Archbishop Demet, and you are on Breaching the Enemy's Contract on this Tuesday, June 26th of 2012. I am so excited on tonight because we're going to deal with an issue that might be taboo for many, but and also might not be understandable for many. But given that we have been on the page of adulterers and cheating and a healthy lifestyle in your relationships, we just want to keep it real on this evening. But I would like to open up with prayer. Just in case any shoes come flying at me, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. Lord, we give you glory and honor. Lord, I thank you that on tonight, that as we begin to help people who have cheated in their relationships get an understanding, the husband and wife, should they continue their relationship and begin the forgiveness process, which is gaining that trust process again. But Lord, I thank you that we will touch on areas that are taboo for some, and for some it is an actual way for them to begin to restore that which was defeated and that the enemy tried to tear apart due to their carnal state of mind, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. But Lord, we know that marriage is ordained by you, and that if anybody can put anything back together, you surely can. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on tonight, this is a really touchy subject, and we have people who have had a problem with forgiving others, and especially when you're in a relationship and you want to forgive your spouse for cheating and you want to move forward in that relationship, and that's a hard thing to do because forgiving yourself is part of the battle, too. Some people say, well, why do they need to forgive themselves? They're the ones that did it. Well, you have to understand, yes, you did it. You messed up, and you cheated on your wife and on your your husband. Yes, you did do it. But you need to know that. It doesn't really matter right now. It doesn't matter right now why it happened. What matters is now is where you go from here. And if you love your spouse and you want to try to make things right in your marriage, you know, there's a few things that you need, that you have to deal with. These are things that you're not going to sweep up underneath the carpet and not think that you don't have to step to the plate and not deal with any of these issues. You know, gaining forgiveness from your spouse and regaining your trust, and also figuring out how to forgive yourself. That's a hard thing to do, to forgive yourself for cheating. I mean, all of these things, they take time to accomplish, you know, but they can be done, you know, for you and for your spouse, and done if you or your spouse are serious about saving your marriage. And if you're serious about saving your marriage, you've got to want it, to know that you can work all things out. All things can be worked out if you really wanted to. There are some extenuating circumstances where it's just real bad, and it cannot be put back together. There's a lot of extenuating factors, but you've got to put away bitterness and anger. You have to forgive as God forgives. Jesus says that we must forgive often, and in the process of doing that, you know, gaining that forgiveness from your spouse, which is gaining forgiveness, you know, from others. And that is that we must forgive. We have to put away. Word of the Lord says in Ephesians 4:31-32, that get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, God, forgave you. And when you begin to do that, you begin to be the imitators of God, as in Ephesians 5:1-2, would be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Gaining forgiveness from your spouse, that's going to be the first hurdle that you're going to have to cross. I mean, it's It's about not making excuses and trying to lay blame or trying to rationalize what you've done. You cheated. You went outside of the marriage. So you can, there's no rationalization as to why you did it. I don't care how mad your spouse made you. It should not make you go and lie with someone else, regardless of how mad they made you. That's an excuse. You don't need an excuse, because if you're grown, you don't need an excuse to do anything that you feel you want to do. Instead, you have to go to your spouse and admit that you made a huge mistake in judgment. You know, you have to tell them that you're sorry for what you've done and ask for their forgiveness. Now, you know, don't expect that forgiveness to come quickly or to come easily, because your spouse didn't even tell you that they aren't sure whether or not they forgive you. You have to be able to accept that, whether or not they forgive you. The important thing at this point is that you apologize and you ask to be forgiven. Now that you've asked to be forgiven, God begins to work this thing out, because love covers, otherwise, you know, and overlooks a multitude of sins. So in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. This is where we want to restore with gentleness one who has fallen into sin. And this is where Galatians 6:1 begins to play a part, where it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. You have to know it's not tit for tat. You cannot do tit for tat, because it makes you no better than them. So when you ask to be forgiven and you're going to go get some counseling, you're going to go get some help, you're going to begin to seek that counsel. You're going to begin, if you're a Christian couple, of course, you're to seek counsel. One of you may be Christian. Both of you may be Christian. One may not be hearing it at all at that particular time because you're hurt. But when you are the cheater, when you are the one that has cheated, you have to seek to gain forgiveness from your spouse, because you are the one that inflicted that pain. You are the one that walked outside of the confines of what your vows were. You are the one that has to seek to regain the trust, and that's the next step, because it goes hand in hand with your spouse being able to forgive you. Because cheating on your spouse, that's the ultimate betrayal of trust. And in order for your spouse to forgive you and trust you again, you need to be totally honest in everything you say and do, because everything's going to seem like a lie. Answer every question they ask, because you have created the paranoia. You have created the distrust that you have created that whole scenario because of your affair. And it may not have been a full-fledged affair. May have been a quickie. May have been a coworker. May have been somebody that turned you on in the church. I mean, let's keep this real, because we don't breach the enemy's contract to get an understanding that none of it is warranted in a marriage. In a Christian marriage, none of it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, whether it be on your job, whether it be in the church, whether it be at the supermarket, you want to hand somebody a card, say, call me. And then it ends up something else with a different type of dialogue. You are the one that has to be trusted. You are the one that, if your spouse has questions, you are the one that has to answer those questions in all honesty. And if they ask the same question, even if they ask that same question over and over again, they need to get some clarification. They're trying to seek some answers as to why, if it was them, if it was their fault, why you did it. And it may have nothing to do with them, but you have to be prepared and ready for that. But you have to begin to understand that forgiveness factor, it goes hand in hand with you asking for forgiveness and then you forgiving yourself, and it has to mesh together. So if the question is why, and don't make excuses. You messed up, and you need to take total responsibility for what happened. You will need to be extra careful that you don't do or say anything that will cause even more mistrust or get an attitude because they asked you a question, point blank. Your spouse might ask you, well, was it good? What kind of positions did you guys get? They might ask you all kinds of things. It might not even be sex. It might be emotional. But what kinds of things did you guys talk about? Because again, an emotional affair can be more damaging than a physical, because physical can be done and it's over and that's it. But now you still have a soul tie, but an emotional affair, because that spouse is now having attention given to them and talking about things that this other person is talking about, things that your spouse doesn't even really care about. Sits in front of TV all day with the remote. Doesn't work. Sitting at home. Or they work and they're at work with someone else. Again, we talked about someone in the workplace becoming that confidant and being available to talk about things because you're too busy doing other things at home or away from home. The devil's a lie. We got to get the devil up out of this mix and breach the enemy's contract all the way around, because you have to know that when you say you'll do something, you have to be able to do it in the process of regaining that trust. And the only way you'll be able to regain your spouse's trust is by consistently being open and honest. You have to be consistent. It doesn't mean that you become a doormat, that you accept anything, that this person gets to hit you, that this person gets to talk crazy to you, that this person gets to just slay you every chance they get. Well, it's your fault, you shouldn't have done. Well, they don't get an opportunity to continue to keep doing that. But that's what counseling will help that. So by forgiving yourself, you now, you know, how do I do this? You know, this is more difficult than getting forgiveness from somebody else. And so when you see the hurt that you have caused your spouse, and you feel even worse and you beat yourself up over and over again, you have to recognize that beating yourself up doesn't change what happened. It only makes you feel bad and doesn't help the situation at all, because now you're stressed, now you're depressed. You're constantly beating yourself up. You're constantly not feeling as though you're being forgiven by someone else, but you have to forgive yourself in order to even embrace someone else forgiving you, because you can keep the situation going in the household by not forgiving yourself. And forgiving yourself, it doesn't mean that you don't feel bad about the situation or what you did, or that you weren't responsible for what you did. It means that you acknowledge that you made a mistake and you promise that you'll never do it again. See, if you don't acknowledge you made a mistake and keep making excuses and putting blame on other people for what it is that you've done, you'll never recover from this. Your marriage will never recover. You can pray till the cows come home. You can shout. You can lay on the altar. You can snot and wail and everything else. But if you don't even acknowledge that it was a problem and you blow it off, God's not going to honor that. Because the vow, you broke the vow, but you're not acknowledging the wrong. You're not taking responsibility. And that's why people, when you cheat, you keep beating yourself up. That's why you start doing the little extra stuff, you know, that you wouldn't normally do to try to, the material things shouldn't camouflage the pain. Some people do allow material things to mask the pain. So you might buy that extra diamond. You might buy that car. Or you might go get a new house. You might get extra money. Oh, here's a new credit card. Oh, don't worry about it. I bought dinner. Oh, you're doing more things, but you never dealt with the pain for yourself, which in turn has your spouse on a humbug of what false forgiveness looks like for them. So the next time something happens, it's going to be an all-out war. Because, you know, cheating on a spouse is something that happens. It happens all too frequently, and it happens in the body of Christ so much. And the devil's a lie. I've reached the enemy's contract right now, because our Christian marriages are falling apart because of what the world says is entering into that relationship. So you have to know that for some couples, cheating ends the marriage, while with some people, it actually begins a long road to saving a marriage. And only the two of you can make the decision as to whether you want to try to salvage that relationship. And if it's Christ-centered, God will begin to come in and say, look, this is what needs to be done. Hands down, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The conviction will be there, because the Holy Spirit will convict you. Hopefully before you even thought about cheating, you thought about it till you were convicted with the thought. But that's a different story, because now the act has already been done. The sin was in the thought process of the cheating. Now that the cheating has happened, you messed up, you need to ask for forgiveness, you need to forgive yourself. And it may be the beginning or the end of the marriage. It may make the marriage stronger. Because now you can deal with questions that you never asked before. And there's a lot of couples that have been successful in restoring that love and trust in their marriage after one of the spouses have cheated. And this is where a lot of arguments, you know, begin to happen, because one spouse wants to go to counseling, one spouse doesn't want to go to counseling, and when that happens, this is where most of the fights begin, and this is where the relationship is really fighting and struggling for that spouse that means to forgive themselves for cheating but has excuses because they have not acknowledged themselves, but also they can't receive the forgiveness from the other spouse because of guilt. And that's why all the arguments begin to surface. That's why the little things begin to bother you. That's if you're angry about something, you know, you don't talk about it within a 48-hour period, because if you don't talk about it within that time frame, it festers and it builds. You know, this is where you, even your spouse, you know, you don't want to discuss the matter. You know, set an appointment 24 hours after you're mad, after you finish being mad and upset, can we talk about it? Can we be fair about this? And that means fair is because you understand what the issue is and you don't go off into anything else. You keep it balanced and you stick to the subject matter, which is the cheating issue, which is the forgiveness issue. If the cheating is the issue, the forgiveness is going to be the outcome, because again, we do the concept, the principle, the application. The concept is, I need to understand you cheated. I need to understand myself that I cheated. We understand that. The principle is applying the word of God to what God says about cheating. Now we need to help that brother, that sister in that marriage, and we need to pray so God can come in. So now we've got the application, which is, okay, I'm not upset anymore. Okay, we'll talk and we'll stick to the subject. That's what counseling will do. A good Christian counselor will help you understand how to balance what you guys need. What are you fighting about? Are you fighting about something that happened at the wedding 20 years ago or 10 or 5 years ago? Are you fighting about something that just pissed you off a while ago? Or are you fighting about the cheating? Because sometimes the cheating is not even the issue. It begins to be something else about past history. So if you don't deal with things the way they should be in any relationship that led up to the act of that spouse going outside of that marriage, and there's no communication factor, you'll never understand how to balance things in an argument. It will always be lugs being thrown at each other for something that is not even applicable to what the subject matter is. And that's what causes the relationship to not grow stronger. That's what causes the spouse to stay, to still continue to feel that mistrust, because you never deal with the issue, you skate around it. So now the spouse that cheated brings up stuff from the past, from the spouse who's been hurt by the cheating. So there's never a wash. There's just never a wash for it. So you have to know that you know, even those enduring pet names don't even apply. The babe, the honey. Who wants to hear that? Because it's a sarcastic tone. Because you can usually always say that, and that will calm that spouse down. But now it's in a sarcastic tone. You don't want to hear it. But see, that's where the enemy begins to deafen the ear of the spouse. And your communication begins to be broken. There is none. There's no humor. There's no laughter anymore. The loud talking is there. The attitude is there. So you have to know that you've got to hear each other in the process of dealing with someone that's cheating, and understand, I want to forgive myself for cheating. I want to receive you for forgiving me for cheating. I want us to get help so we can understand how we can deal with these issues. And if there's any other issues on the table, we can use sentences that begin to start with, you know, I instead of you, because the you is the blaming and I is taking responsibility for what I did. Because I want you to trust me again. I want you to trust me like you did before. But a lot of times when couples get married too soon, there was always something that never got talked about. So there was always a little bit of mistrust. So you bring up topics and things that have been talked about, that weren't talked about, that were touched upon, but weren't really talked about. So the argument is now based on what you really wanted to say in the beginning. You're dealing with someone who's cheated. You're dealing with someone who's messed up, but that's not your issue. You want to deal with something else. Well, this is why I cheated, because if you'd have did this before we got married, don't do the you thing. Deal with I. Even though if you guys are angry, the two of you are, you know, you're angry, so don't even try to hold hands. Because this is, look, you cheated, and this I'm not even hearing God right now. So, and these are things that you have to work with, but trust a good Christian counselor that is going to help you both bring some balance. So if you want to save your marriage, regain that trust in your marriage, and have that marriage, have it not be the ending of your marriage, but be a beginning of a new start. You're going to get everything out in the open that you wanted to deal with. Okay, so you have to understand that. Remember not to fight to win in this particular argument, but to fight for your relationship, because the enemy has plagued one of the spouses with cheating, with whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, however it is. The enemy begins to plague the mind. The enemy begins to not want that spouse to repent and affirm your love. See, this is what the enemy seeks to do. So that couple doesn't learn how to outwit Satan. Because you have to know, when we forgive others as well as ourselves, we outwit Satan. The word of the Lord says in 2 Corinthians 2:10-11, says, if you forgive anyone, I'll also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his scheme. So you need to know, as a Christian and being married, there's a scheme already set up for you. And that scheme is to break every vow that you spoke, and to break every vow of who you say God is to break your stride in your salvation, to break your stride in your love for God, and to blame God for what happened. But the scheme is already set up for you. So this is where you begin prior to marriage. If you went to premarital counseling and you were able to really dialogue with someone about what the issues were, and if there's an issue in your relationship, ma'am, that man of God, keep your eyes in your head, that woman of God, keep your eyes in your head and your skirt down, and men, keep your pants up and your own stuff in your pants, and for your own spouse and to be in your own bed. Take your wife to the hotel. That's all I'm saying. Love on each other. Learn how to love each other. Learn how to communicate with each other. Learn how to breach the enemy's contract in your relationship. Learn how to forgive yourself if you have cheated. Learn how to use the word of God to bring the balance in your relationship. It's not the end. It can be the beginning, but both have to be willing. But don't do tit for tat because one has cheated. Well, I'm going to go do the same thing. So then you go find solace in someone on your job, get another confidant at the church. This is the problem, because then we get everybody else involved in it. And your marriage never has a chance to heal. You've got too many people that are speaking into your ears. Let God be the one who's speaking to both of you, because there's a healing process that has to take place. And if you love the Lord the way that he loves you, a healing process can take place. And we do understand that there's some extenuating circumstances a whole lot of times where it just cannot be. It cannot be rejuvenated. It cannot be revived because of the hurt and the damage that's taken place. I don't speak out the side of my neck. I speak out of experience. Been there, done that. I don't speak out of any book sense. I speak out of experience. So now that I've gotten a little more mature about it, and God's been able to pour into me, now I can say, I really know how to do it now. Because the Holy Spirit has really got to be the center of everything that goes on. And it's got to be balanced, the communication factor. In some relationships, one is more of a communicator than the other. Find this out before you get married. Talk about all the things that you've always wanted to talk about. And if that, again, as I stated before, if that rubs someone wrong, then maybe that's not someone that you can keep it real with. Maybe that's someone who has something to hide, somebody that's got a past history of cheating, a past history of just not being faithful or being truthful. But in all things, should you marry, and this does take place, forgive, learn how, you've got to learn how to forgive yourself, but you've also got to learn how to receive the forgiveness from someone else. Because guilt and coupled with the enemy will keep you bound, and neither one of you will ever learn how to outwit Satan. Because when you bind together and say, you know what, the devil's a lie, I understand, whether it's mental or physical. Physical's a little bit harder because that's part of your body. You got to deal with STDs, but you can deal with STDs in the spirit realm on the emotional level, which is hard as well, because now that's dealing with you psychologically, your mind. That's dealing with your helmet of salvation. If your mind is not covered, then the enemy comes in and infects that what you think. If you don't get fully suited and understand that you've got to be on guard in your marriage, and it doesn't mean you have to walk around with a straitjacket on. But in the spirit, you better be walking around one, because the enemy is always going to try to infect that which you say you are. If you're in love with your spouse, the enemy is going to be there to challenge you on every end of that love, of that vow, because everything you say that you have over and done with, it's going to challenge you with that. Because where there's a weakness at, that's where his goal is. That's where the scheme is. You change your habit, change your ways when you get married, then you understand those same things don't apply, that the world can't come in and infect what God has blessed you to have. But you've got to forgive yourself. You've got to learn how to be forgiven. You've got to regain that trust. You've got to get in a good environment that is going to offer in your ministry, prospective ministries, that are going to offer good, solid Christian counseling, and or if not your pastor, good outsourced counseling to someone that's trusted. Because this is where we breach the enemy's contract to then begin to seek help. And sometimes some people don't want to seek help. And sometimes the cheating is not with a physical being. Sometimes the cheating is with alcohol, and sometimes the cheating is with drugs. The drug becomes the woman, the drug becomes the man. The alcohol becomes, the bottle becomes the woman, the bottle becomes the man. And it will resemble that of somebody who is addicted or who's an alcoholic. So you've got, again, communication is going to bring that balance in what it is that God seeks to do to keep your marriage, intact. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for on tonight that we've been able to talk about a strong topic about forgiving, being able to forgive yourself if you cheated, forgive yourself for being angry and for being bitter, being able to be forgiven, being able to regain trust, being able to be trusted again in a relationship. Lord, that we have breached the enemy's contract on tonight because we want to be imitators of God in our relationships and in our marriages in the way of you. So Lord, we thank you for restoration. We thank you for understanding, and we thank you for the power to know that love keeps no record of wrongs. Lord, we thank you, as 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, that love keeps no record of wrongs. I thank you for tonight. I'm breaching the enemy's contract. This is Dr. Danette, and I will see you.